Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Wasn't able to connect with Julio Diaz, who we normally have on at this time. You never know. He might call during the segment. It happens occasionally. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we're going to be doing the wrap. Maybe it's a half hour. We'll be talking to Jonathan Owens and Josh Roberson, who are in studio with me today. Of course, in about 8 minutes, we have the Transgressors Memorial Service. You can find out why Sweden got in trouble this week. I'll tell you about that coming up. Meanwhile, you know, we've been talking about these amendments, and one of the things with the particularly the fishing and hunting amendment, I got a really thorough email from somebody who was very frustrated with me and my description of that amendment and my position on it, and I appreciated the email. I thought some of the things that he had to say were accurate. One of the arguments against that amendment has been that it would put us back into a situation where, like, for example, fishing with gill nets would be allowed because it's so vague about protecting traditional methods is what it says. And he said it wouldn't put us in that position because it is already in the Constitution that gill nets are prohibited, and a specific language portion of one part of the Constitution would not be overridden by a vague language portion of another part of the Constitution. And I think that's probably right. I think that analysis is probably right. Same argument about the, you know, some of the antis have been arguing that this might allow hunters to just hunt across your land because it doesn't prohibit that and it says any restriction. And also, you know, the conservation through hunting is the primary tool, hunting is the primary tool for conservation of populations. And so that one argument has been made. And his response to that is, again, the Constitution is pretty vehement in its protection of private property. That's not something that's going to happen, even if this winds up passing. The third critique that he had for me, and I will always take criticisms, especially if they're well thought out and have, you know, good evidence behind them. His third criticism is that I had made the comment that a cynical view of this amendment is that it was done as a get out the vote. You know, a lot of times people do push amendments as a way of generating interest from one side or the other. Clearly, okay, the abortion amendment, even though it is being done for the reasons of protecting the right to an abortion, clearly, it is also, happy luck, a great way to get out the vote among Democrats. That's clearly a secondary purpose. Then again, it's also going to get out votes among Republicans to vote against it, too. So there's a bit of dicey on that. Anyway, what I said about the camping and hunting one was the cynical view is this is an excellent way to get out the, I think I used the phrase a redneck voter, the hunter and the fisherman, you know, who's going to show up to protect hunting and fishing rights and then vote for Trump while they're there. I think they were going to vote for Trump anyway. It's probably not that effective. But in any case, he said, well, first of all, you shouldn't make fun of rednecks. I said, sir, I live in the redneck Riviera. I'm not making fun of anybody. I like rednecks. A lot of my friends are redneck. That's not a problem. But he also said a lot of Democrats supported this. And he's right. It was actually a super bipartisan vote in the legislature. I suspect because nobody wants to be on record as the person who voted against hunting and fishing. I mean, that would be, you know, signing your own death warrant as a politician in Florida, regardless of the party that you're in. So then we're left with this analysis. If all of that's true, and if those criticisms were either off target or somewhat off target by me, have I changed my position on the amendment? And my answer is still no. I still would vote against it, and I'll tell you why, the short version. A, you always vote against every amendment on principle unless you are drag kicking and screaming to vote yes for it. You must believe that it is a very, 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 very good amendment to solve an issue that absolutely must be solved by a constitutional amendment and not by the legislature. And I don't believe either of those things. I still have questions about the practical impact of the amendment. I still am not sure about some of the language. I don't trust the primary method for conservation language. I also am still not clear in vagueness terms about what traditional methods are. And I definitely think this should be solved at the legislative level, where, interestingly, we already have rights regarding hunting and fishing in the state of Florida. And it's not like this long-standing, long-simmering problem that is begging for a constitutional solution. So, no, I'm still a no vote, even though in principle, of course, I want to protect the right of Fisher and hunters to do whatever they want to do. 8:14 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home and you obviously want to get all the way through to closing with a good result and, you know, navigate the hurdles and the problems and the potholes, or just make sure that you know what's normal, that's why you get a good real estate agent. And in order to have that good real estate agent, they've got to have experience, which comes from many, many, many times going through that process. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 175 homes last year, 130 so far this year. They've done it. They know. And they have a kind of anything that takes mentality of getting you all the way through to closing. And they know what's normal. See, markets can shift, not just because of interest rates, not just because of investor interest or disinterest, but even because of like the insurance domain changes. And then what's normal? Like, is it normal for a seller to have to replace a 7-year-old air conditioning unit in order to sell a home because otherwise they can't get insurance on the buyer side? I don't know. But those are questions that come up these days because, believe it or not, those are the kind of things that insurers are requiring. It's crazy. So a real estate agent who knows that stuff can help guide you through the negotiations of should you or shouldn't you pay for that if you're a seller. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 723-9158. Why does Sweden get canceled? We'll tell you next in the Transgressive Memorial Service. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. One accident to let you know about if you're traveling on Airport Boulevard just south or west of I-10, heading between that and Highway 29, you're going to see an accident with road blockage. So you definitely want to plan around that one because that's going to slow you down, starting to see some heavy delays there. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
I'm Jennifer Brayer, your councilwoman for the City of Pensacola, District 1. I am passionate about our community and have made sure our concerns are heard at City Hall. I'm accessible, out walking our neighborhoods and parks, and meeting with citizens to hear concerns about our district. I am always available and ready to listen, respond, and represent. We must continue to have a strong voice, so please re-elect me, your representative for the City of Pensacola. Paid for by re-elect Jennifer Brayer, City of Pensacola, District 1.
With 0% financing on one of Volkswagen's most popular SUV crossovers, there's no better time to drive the VW Tiguan from Pete Bohr Imports. Get 0% APR for a full 60 months, plus an additional $500 of VW loyalty cash. And you'll be driving the 2024 Tiguan S for as low as $28,999. But if you'd rather forego the 0% APR, then take advantage of an additional discount for a low price of $27,499. And the 2025 Jetta S, Volkswagen's top-selling four-door sedan, is now available from a low $22,995. This month, the numbers are adding up to bigger savings from Pete Bohr Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Pete Bohr Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualified credit to BCI. Sale price before tax, title, and dealer fee. Royalty discount for qualified VW owners. See dealer for details. Offer expires October 31st, 2024.
Florida Senate candidate Don Gates will fight for us.
Because Florida is a free state and Florida is a low tax state. But for many people, Florida is also becoming an unaffordable state. In many markets, availability of housing has declined while housing costs have increased a lot. The price of energy at the gas pump and the electric meter, it's a hardship for many families. And property insurance, if you can get it, is doubling, even tripling, even when homeowners and business owners don't have recent claims or any claims at all. I'm running for the Florida Senate, because I'm ready to tackle those tough issues for senior citizens, for small businesses, and for the folks who work every day to make our state exceptional. I'll fight for a free Florida and a low tax Florida and an affordable Florida.
Paid by Don Gates, Republican for State Senate.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, the news radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Norway, Sweden, and Denmark for their recent efforts to prohibit people from marrying whomever they love when the ones they love are cousins. Norway has already banned cousin marriage, and both Sweden and Denmark recently announced a ban starting in 2026, which does still give all the firsties, secondsies, and thirdsies out there 2 years to get their matrimony on. Now, normally, we'd be reluctant to criticize the Scandinavians since they have a reputation for democratic socialism. But in this case, their banning of an alternative lifestyle, albeit one not normally included in the holy acronym string, is a real problem. As we all know, one of our key beliefs is that you cannot control whom you love, and therefore, it is wrong to prevent two consenting adults from marrying anyone, including your mother's brother's daughter. In fact, when you really think about it, the only reason such relationships are usually opposed is because they seem icky to the cousin-lovophobes in our society. But of course, many of the lifestyles we believe in have a history of being oppressed for their supposed ickiness. That's why it's important for us to expand the holy acronym string again today to LGBTQIA2S+C. We care about the C's, and we celebrate the C&C Music Factory of Love. But another dimension of today's expulsion is that it's the Muslims primarily who engage in close family money through clan-based arranged marriage, something the Swedes think violates individual freedom and property rights. But as you know, Muslims are a protected class, and outlawing their religious practice is completely othering. So instead of thinking of cousinophilia as incest, realize it's just keeping it all in the family. Plus, the money you save on name tags at family reunions. Thus, for the double offense of oppressing Muslims and relativosexuals, Norway, Denmark, and Sweden, we cast thee out. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, the British pint of beer. Yes, despite the pint measure being set in British law for more than 200 years, 20 ounces in the UK, by the way, unlike the shrimpy 16 ounces in the US, it's high time to eliminate the traditional measure for a glass of ale. The basic problems, as you might suspect, are obesity and alcoholism. A recent study showed that when pubgoers were offered the choice between a two-thirds pint and a one-third pint, instead of between a full pint and a half pint, they actually ended up consuming 10% less beer just because the portions are smaller. And the Welsh and the Scottish remained at least somewhat coherent for 30% longer. Naturally, this means the consumption of fewer calories and less alcohol, both health benefits for the notoriously unfit Brits. Now, it is true that despite asking 1,700 pubs to participate in the study, only 13 agreed, and none of them maintained the smaller sizes afterwards. But most of the non-participants admitted they're reluctant to advocate for such an overwhelmingly unpopular change, particularly because it goes against several centuries of established drinking tradition. But that's the pint point. Remember your Flanagan's third corollary of cognitive dissonance. The less that people want something, the more important it is to force it upon them. Breaking their will and making them thank you for it is always the number one goal of any social progressive. Also remember, we are always against tradition because violating tradition is the best mechanism for separating people from their past and anything that worked before. Upheaval and novelty are our most holy fetishes, and we love any change that makes people feel uncomfortable with something they've known all their lives. So up with the two-thirds pint and the one-third pint measure for British beer, ale, and stout. This is our pathway to thinner, healthier, less incoherent, and more obedient British subjects. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we simply could not be prouder than we are of the University of California, San Diego for their new requirement that every student must take at least one course in climate change in order to earn a diploma. More than 40 courses will satisfy the requirement, including such popular offerings as planetary health, the astronomy of climate change, energy economics, the ethics of climate change, the intersection of gender and climate justice, indigenous approaches to climate change, and our personal favorite, how the environment has shaped literature. In addition to more effectively indoctrinating impressionable young Californians into our religion of scientific impersonation, UCSD is also preparing their wokelings for all the professional opportunities which will come with the new green economy, such as careers in carbon accounting, climate engineering, and environmental economics in the emerging world. Climate change studies is simply too important to let anyone graduate without learning about it. And so we celebrate this bold move by UCSD, and because of this announcement, we are pleased to name the University of California, San Diego as the first officially certified institute of higher re-education. Well done, group thinkers. Well done. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Refreshments this week are provided by Rotten But Not to the Core, purveyors of the finest reclaimed charcuterie anywhere in North America. Have you ever had a bit of prosciutto with a little fur on it? A bit of blue cheese that had been orange originally? A bit of apple whose soft spot bursts gently under the pressure of your fingers? Well, these delightful pieces of food aren't completely inedible, just partially inedible. And Rotten But Not to the Core gathers them from other restaurants, cleans them off a little bit, and serves them to you like there was never anything wrong with them in the first place. So enjoy those soggy olives, cherish that pungent ham, and savor that fuzzy bread. At Rotten to the Core, you can really taste the virtue.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
So one of the things I love is when I can get... the teacher in me likes to see people's reactions, and when I can see somebody visibly uncomfortable and laughing at the bursting of the rotten portion of the apple description... just makes my heart so warm. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Well, we've got a couple accidents to let you know about. The first one's at Denver Avenue and West Michigan Avenue. The roadway is blocked there. Also, keep going down Beverly Parkway and Hanson Boulevard. We've got the turning lane blocked. Use caution there. And still dealing with the accident that happened on the Airport Boulevard and St. Benedict Avenue. Roadway is still blocked, causing some major delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines and all the reclaimed charcuterie you can stand.
Furry prosciutto. Really?
That sounds like a grunge band name. Furry prosciutto.
Yeah, I could see the Grammy now.
Or the kind of thing you'd see in costume at like a convention.
Yeah, absolutely. President Biden's in Germany today, working to strengthen U.S. ties with European allies. He says he wants to cement cooperation on issues ranging from the Middle East to the war in Ukraine.
We cannot let up. We must sustain our support. In my view, we must keep going until Ukraine wins a just and durable peace consistent with the U.N. Charter.
Biden was met with military honors after touching down in Berlin and received the highest class of Germany's Order of Merit from President Frank-Walter Steinmeier.
Was that President Biden from the phone booth? What was that audio?
I don't know.
It reminds me of those old, like, the translator headphones that they're over in the cubicle, you know, telling you what's going on. That's kind of the... Anyway, go on.
Well, you know, he called it in. He said, Sarah, ring me into the States. I got to... a Marine Corps veteran says she was humiliated after getting kicked off a Delta Airlines flight because of a T-shirt that she was wearing. Catherine Banks said she was planning to fly out of San Francisco Wednesday to visit her sister. A flight attendant told her T-shirt was threatening. Apparently it read, "Do not give in to the war within, end veteran suicide." She was forced to put a sweatshirt on over that.
What?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
You think I'm inventing these stories. You think that the transgressors is exaggeration. But like... That's I'm gonna have to do one on that now. But the thing about all the fields of study for the new green economy and all those classes at UCSD, those are all real things. I don't even invent it. Carbon accounting is a real thing. Go ahead, David. Sorry.
Well, we're just glad you're bringing it to our attention.
My God.
along with furry prosciutto. The Department of Energy is putting $2 billion towards electrical transmission infrastructure. They announced 38 projects, including new power lines, improving existing power lines, and their goal is to protect existing lines from wildfires as well. This money coming from the 2021 bipartisan infrastructure law.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 829 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And we'll get to that maybe a little bit. One thing I did want to mention, somebody had texted in. Where was the question? All of a sudden, I lost my train of thought. I apologize. They were asking about the park benches or about the bus stop benches. David, you and I were talking about this a little bit on the air. Do we know whether it's $20,000 each to repair, all three to repair? Have we gotten clarity on that?
Well, here is Mike.
He told me that it was being removed because it was vandalism and that it would be replaced. And each one of these estimate, according to what ECAT told us, is around $20,000.
So he says each one.
$60,000 for the three. Wow. Well, I mean, a speed bump is like $5,000 to $7,000, you know, one hump of asphalt with a little paint on it. So, good Lord, who knows what things cost these days. All right, David, thanks so much. The wrap comes up. Should be a good one.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump on Fox and Friends says he feels good about the campaign with 2.5 weeks to go.
So, look, I've had three campaigns, and I won the first one. I did much better in the second one, getting millions more votes. And this one, I can say there's more enthusiasm, and we had a lot of enthusiasm for both.
Vice President Kamala Harris reminds a crowd in Green Bay, Wisconsin, more than 100 Republican leaders have campaigned for her.
Including some who had previously served in Trump's administration.
She and Trump have events in Michigan today. South Korea's spy agency says North Korea's military has sent troops to help Russia fight Ukraine. President Biden in Germany says allies have to stand strong supporting Ukraine.
We should never underestimate the power of democracy. Never underestimate. Estimate the value of alliances.
He's meeting with the leaders of Germany, France, and the UK. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3, 54 degrees right now, sunshine in Pensacola today. And yesterday, Channel 3 reported ECAT had removed several area bus stop benches, reportedly due to issues with homeless individuals in some parts of Escambia County. We are getting some reaction on that today from the director of the Alfred Washburn Center. He says it sends the same message the county's been sending for a decade now.
I find this cruel. I mean, even in the sense that the reason that the benches are there for people to sit on, and then they get upset when members of our community use the services that they provide because they're of the lowest class. And I find that appalling.
And Michael Kimbrell is an advocate for the homeless here in our area. And WEAR asked Escambia County Commissioner Mike Kohler about those bench removals. He said the ECAT director told him they had to be removed due to a vandalism issue and would be replaced after repairs were made, which would be to the tune of about $20,000 each. A huge resurfacing project in Escambia County is set to begin next month. The work on Pine Forest Road from Mobile Highway to Blue Angel Parkway. The project is estimated at about $2.34 million. It will include road resurfacing, sidewalk and crosswalk improvements, including ADA upgrades, traffic light work, new signage, and new markings as well. There will be some nighttime lane closures between 8 p.m. and 6 a.m. as the work is done, and it should be done by mid-2025. An arrest has been made for the shooting on Chimes Way, which left one man dead, another injured earlier this week. 35-year-old Walter Baker is charged with murder, attempted murder, tampering with evidence, and possession of a weapon by a felon. The shooting happened 3 o'clock Sunday morning. One victim died at the scene. Another is still in the hospital. About 3 weeks from now, the best of SEC women's soccer will be back in Pensacola. 12 nationally ranked soccer teams are competing for a conference title November 3rd through the 10th at Ashton-Brosnahan Park. Tickets are on sale now at PensacolaSports.org. Escambia County now has a District 4 commissioner. Ashley Hoffberger took her seat at the dais on Thursday after a swear-in ceremony at the Board of Commissioners meeting.
I, Ashley Hoffberger,
a citizen of the state of Florida,
a citizen of the state of Florida,
and of the United States of America,
and of the United States of America,
and being an officer of Escambia County,
and being an officer of Escambia County,
and the recipient of public funds,
and the recipient of public funds, as such officer,
do hereby solemnly swear,
do hereby solemnly swear,
or affirm that I will support,
that I will support
the Constitution of the United States,
the Constitution of the United States,
and of the state of Florida,
and of the state of Florida.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And Hoffberger now taking the seat, which has been vacant since January when Robert Bender was appointed as the new county supervisor of elections. The board's first order of business after that ceremony was to approve Hofberger's nominations for the Marine Advisory and Disability Awareness Committees. Now, the group backing the abortion amendment can claim a victory now in their legal battle with state officials. A federal judge sided with Floridians Protecting Freedom in their lawsuit against Florida Surgeon General Dr. Joseph Latipo. FPF is backing Amendment 4. If that's passed, it would allow abortion until fetal viability, in some cases even beyond. In its lawsuit, FPF accused Latipo's office, the Florida Department of Health, of threatening TV stations that were airing a commercial in favor of Amendment 4. Health officials argued that the ad called Caroline was categorically false and said stations that ran it could be committing a misdemeanor crime. FPF argued that health officials were violating the First Amendment. The judge agreed and issued a temporary restraining order for the health department. He also scheduled a hearing this month to discuss a preliminary injunction. It's 8:35 at News Radio. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit KnoxPest.com. Knox knocks them out. Several accidents to let you know about if you're traveling on Beverly Parkway right around Hanson Boulevard. The turning lane is blocked there. And then we have another accident that happened on Michigan Avenue and Denver Avenue. It's got the roadway blocked also there. Avoid that area because there are some major delays there also. Airport Boulevard and St. Benedict Avenue. If you're heading towards Highway 29 on Airport Boulevard, you're going to see some major, major backups there because of that accident. Other than that, traffic is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And taking a look at our weather today, actually looking like a real nice stretch here today and through the weekend. We've got sunshine, going to see sunshine today, tomorrow, Sunday, and then all through early next week as well. We've got a high of 73 today. We're going to have lows down, not quite as cold as it was this morning, but down around 55 here throughout the weekend, and highs on Saturday and Sunday between 75 and 80 degrees. Should be very nice. Now, right now, we've got 55 degrees in Pensacola, 52 in Gulf Breeze, 50 in Milton, and sunshine all across the area. Your money now. We've got a mixed open for the markets this morning. The Dow is down 157 points almost. 43,082 right now. S&P 500 is up just under 8 points at 58.48. The NASDAQ is up 96 points now at 18.469. Our 10-year bond yield is up 0.029 at 4.067%. Gold prices today up 1570 at $27.2330. Silver prices up almost $0.75 at $32.52. And taking a look at crypto, Bitcoin up just under $1,000 today at $67,843.54. Your next news at 9. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
I said a hip, the hip, hip hop, you don't stop.
Rap. I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. That's an opportunity for me to talk with a couple of friends here in studio about the events of the week and wrap it up as former Commissioner Peach so aptly says. Today in studio, I've got Jonathan Owens, longtime friend and, former everything. You know, former aide, chief of staff to Doug Underhill, County Commissioner, a candidate a couple times for county, two times, right?
One time. I've only subjected myself to that punishment once.
I don't blame you for that. And Josh Roberson. I've been saying it, Roberson. Roberson, who is a candidate for District 5, running in the District 5 against Stephen Barry, the incumbent, as a no-party affiliate, and a retired senior chief?
That's correct.
Senior chief from the Navy, so a guy who knows how to get things done. What was the domain? What was the specialty?
Aircraft mechanic.
Oh, so what'd you work on? What airframe?
My original platform was the regular Hornet.
Oh, Alpha okay. The legacy Hornet, the sports car. Okay.
The sports car.
The sports car versus the Cadillac. That's how Greg McWhorter always talks about it. Mm-hmm. So, okay, very good. And again, now a candidate. Welcome, by the way. This is the first time I've had you on. First time. Okay. All right. Well, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
The second time we met.
That's right.
We met for 4 seconds before.
Yeah, at the McCool Commissioning. That's right. Okay, let's start with this. Ashley Hoffberger is now sitting in the seat. Now, she's been the commissioner. I guess she was, really sworn in a little while back, but this is the official ceremony. So, and she's made her first motion, all that kind of stuff. Thoughts about just the appointment. Now, I have been saying, the governor delayed way too long. It sucked that D4 didn't have a commissioner for so long. I was very surprised that it didn't happen right after she won the primary. I was then even more surprised that it happened just a month before the election. You may wind up serving with her, or, will not. We'll see how the election goes. But what do you think about the appointment coming a month before the election, Josh?
Yeah, that's a month before. When appointments, I don't want to speak for anybody else. I'll tell you for myself. It's a little offhanded. I thought if there was an appointment was going to happen, it was going to happen after the primary. So I don't know why it would happen a month before the election. Thought they should have just left it. It was already vacant for so long. They should have just left it open until the election.
Yeah, losing a month or so, month and a half once you get to the 18th, it's not that big of a deal.
That's right.
But, once you've already gone so long. Jonathan, it seemed weird to me. The timing seemed very weird to me.
I agree with Josh. It could have happened sooner. Mm-hmm. Who knows what the actual reason was? I mean, I'm sure it spun up a lot of conspiracy theories on why.
It absolutely has.
Facebook's
been a light.
it's been a light, right. Was it just a delay because the governor's appointee's office is, so backlogged? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's several appointments that are on the UWF
That's right.
board. From people that have died that have not been filled by the governor's office. So
Escambia Children's Trust.
And the Escambia Children's Trust. Why that appointment for the D4, but the other ones have not? And if it was so important for that one, why not do it in August?
Right.
It's just a lot of opportunities for,
I forgot about the UWF and then the Children's Trust too, but the UWF, how many are they down? Like 3?
I think so.
Well, I mean, you don't really need a board of governors to run a university, do you? Sorry.
Those folks might think you do.
Snarky, yes.
The ones that are on that board think.
Well, and you have you have challenges like meeting quorum.
Right.
For a lot of these boards. And, I don't know that UWF the board has ever not met because of quorum issues, but I know the children's or the TDC, every time it's a challenge, and they're full. Does it benefit Ron Helms, do you think?
I don't know.
Does he make it an issue? I haven't heard him really make it. He did kind of when I talked to him, a little bit, made it. But I haven't seen anything like that. Do they turn their vote because of that? Because I originally thought this was meant to maybe benefit her, but coming a month before the election, I worried that it would actually harm her because of the perception of bias,
Yeah. I don't know. It's you can't tell how someone's going to vote based on what they vote on.
I mean, how true is that?
A lot of times people vote on, I dated a girl in high school that was her last name. I think I'm going to vote for her. I knew this guy was my best friend as we were kids. I liked that name.
Yeah.
I mean, I've literally heard people say I voted for them because I liked their name.
Democracy is so beautiful.
So why do you make, what's a decision matrix to make a vote, right? So
I'm not sure how, I'm going to have to, on this one, I'm sure Mr. Owens is going to be running for office before and then serving, like you had mentioned, all his serving before with Mr. Underhill. So,
hey, do me one favor.
Yes, sir.
Put your face right in front of that microphone
okay.
all the time. There you
all
go.
All right. There we go. All right. Sorry.
No,
I thought I was close enough.
No, it's the most unnatural thing in the world to speak into a radio microphone. It really is.
So with his statement, not sure, but she'll be up she was on the dais yesterday, and
right.
then she'll be making decisions in the voting like she did yesterday. So we'll see.
I think when people go in, that's not the issue. That's absolutely not the issue at all. The sort of related matter is there's some big stuff, and we've talked about this quite a bit, but I still think it is so worth talking about. My great fear is that this commission is going to try to make some big decisions before Jeff Burgosh leaves, before the three-vote block is broken. And if you win against Stephen Barry, against it really being broken, but we're getting, you know, we've got one new commissioner. We've got another one coming with Steve Stroberger in November. We may have another one coming with you possibly if you win your election. I assume, but this is why I asked the question, you think big decisions like the sports, the athletic complex and the Bay Center and or OLF 8 should maybe wait until the new commission is in?
Absolutely. I'm not even going to hesitate. That's absolutely should wait. You especially don't make any big votes until after the new commissions, and don't wait. Don't make any votes on November 7th. That's after the election.
Yeah.
Let's wait until after everyone's seated.
Jonathan,
as if the wheels of government doesn't move slow enough already. Oh well, we need to wait. We need to wait. We need to wait. We need to wait for this. We need to wait for that. I heard that many times over the 8 years that I was down there. We need to wait after the election for this. Well, why? Why can't we vote for it now? If it's important now, why can't we vote for it now? Now, saying that, I agree with Josh. These big expenditures need to wait until the new board that's going to have to deal with where that money's going to come from, what thing, how it's going to affect their constituency, countywide or district specific. I think that you do need to wait for OLF 8, OLF 8 especially, because it's been
a crisis.
It was
now?
A topic in 2020,
right?
At that race, right? Here we are 4 years later. We still don't have a buyer.
There's not a single piece of dirt that's been turned up on that field in the last seven
well,
years.
Well, except for the stuff
that was done by Navy Federal.
Navy Federal.
That's right. No, right. That's right. But Navy Federal built the park. It's fantastic.
Yep. I guess we won't have to worry about building tennis courts now, though. So there's that.
So if I may, real quick, Mr. Owens, if I may, real quick. So with that being 4 years, there shouldn't be a rush in the next.
Right.
15 days, mm-hmm. 20 days, right? We can hold off.
And I would say this, unless Jeff had won his election. If Jeff had won and, Ashley was in.
Right.
And then you have, four consistent seats. And even if D5 was up, I might have a different view. But it's particularly because the voters have said, we want big change. And there are big changes. And, of course, we don't know what's going to happen in District 5. That's a big part of it. If it had been everybody was winning and it was all the same, then it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Hey, hang on for just a second. We need to get a quick traffic report in here from John Pickens. John?
I've got a couple accidents to let you know about. If you're on Beverly Parkway and Hanson Boulevard, the turning lane is blocked, so you definitely want to avoid that. Also, rolling down to Michigan Avenue and Denver Avenue, we've got a vehicle crash with a roadblock there. So just avoid those two areas if at all possible. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jonathan. John. I got John. I got Jonathan. I got Josh. Oh, okay. So can I make my joke now?
Yes, make your joke.
If you wind up getting on the board, Josh, you're going to go on at the wrong time, because had you done it, like, say, 8 years ago, then you could have been on the county commission and it would have been District 1, Wilson Robertson. District 4, Grover Robinson. And District 5, Josh Rob. I'm going to screw it up. I can't even think straight about Robertson. Robinson, Robertson, and Robertson.
Yeah.
And that, I guess that joke's not as funny as I thought.
It was funny to us.
It is not fair the way we do names of politicians in this area. It's always there's something like this. All right. I feel like you were going to say something else, though, and I cut you off. Was there some other part you wanted to add to that?
OLF 8. Again, it's been going on for years and years. There's been one guy that's been consistent through this the whole time, and that's Fred Himmer, trying to put an offer in, and he has been repeatedly blocked, from my opinion.
I totally agree.
Looking at it from the outside, because I'm not working down there anymore. But if you watch the county commission meetings, we're looking for the right partner.
Oh my God, how many times did Stephen
right
say that?
Partner.
Stephen Barry said that over and over. He couldn't have been more clear that he just
all
didn't
of a
want
sudden
Fred.
The right partner showed up at the last meeting. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Before the election.
Right before the election, we've got the right partner.
And look, I'll say that, I'm be honest, they might be the right person.
They might be. Sure.
But
why rush into it at this point?
When they're the right person based on shifting characteristics of the deal. Whole parcel, not whole parcel, trying to do it looks so shady the way this is all happening. And I hope it's after the new installation of the new board because then we'll have, you know, more certainty about the future. And again, entering into a 30-year, or I think, encumbrance for $90 million for the one, and entering into long-term deals for OLF-8 and the other, massive, I mean, 40 and 50-year decisions being made at a rush when the board is under change right at the last minute. It's ugly. It's just ugly. 849 on News Radio 92.3. Let's talk about some of these amendments, because I think it's very interesting what we're being asked to vote on this fall. Before that, though, problem with most all of them is vagueness. I mean, they're all...
Ballot language is so vague.
Weirdly, the only one that's clear, and clear as a bell, is the partisan school board one.
Right.
Going from, you know, no party affiliation, you just never say, to having a party affiliation. At least that's clear. You know, whether you agree or disagree, we know what that amendment would do. It's very clear. The abortion one has massive unclarity. The hunting and fishing one has at least some unclarity. The marijuana one has at least some unclarity to it. And the ballot language is not clear. In fact, I really love Ballotpedia. Are they the ones? It's somebody who does a language clarity score for the ballot amendments. And you get things like second grade to master's degree level knowledge you have to have in order to read these things. What does it mean for a democracy when we're asking people to figure out ballot amendments that it takes a master's degree education to decode? I have one, and I still am not sure about them.
Ballot. I'll jump in on this one. Ballot language, much like you know what I made reference earlier, someone makes a decision on who they vote for as their elected representative based on name recognition or someone that they knew or they liked their name. Understanding ballot language is a challenge, like you said, for someone even with a master's degree in education. You've got to go do your homework. Something that we lack as a society today is the printed paper. We were talking about that earlier. That was the main source, right?
Yeah.
For news, pre-radio, was print,
pre-TV,
right?
Pre-TV, right. That's all it was.
So the only way you knew about the news was you read the entire paper. Well, did that language show up in some of the in the newspapers at the time? Here's what the ballot language actually is. Now it's here's what the summary is, and you have to go some obscure place if you're not used to looking for it and find it.
Right.
Most people don't take the time to do that, and they make a decision based on, you know, I think this is right,
or they've seen ads,
right? It driven by whoever spent the most money on their story.
Right. So, right. And especially with the abortion one, language around that that's been heavily litigated, and even I, as an opponent, think that the very critical language is, at least half of it, is super prejudicial. Josh?
So, going back to Mr. Owens, it's like...
I love that you call him Mr. Owens. Well,
it's kind of how it works, right?
My dad's name was
so
Mr. Adorable. Owens.
So it's kind of how it works, Mr. McKay. So here we go. So... now that I'm running,
yes, senior chief,
kind of weren't running a campaign. That's over, Mr. Robertson. Try that one.
Right.
You'll trip up. But you're running a campaign, so you put out big names and you say no on four.
Yeah.
So no on three. I'm just
yeah,
using
right.
that right. So no on abortion. So all you know is the abortion piece. All you know is the marijuana piece. You have to go and then read that that ballot information. So all you really know when you walk in there is, oh, I'm going to vote no on abortion.
Yes on fishing
and hunting and fishing. I'm going to vote no on abortion. I'm going to vote yes on marijuana. Right. That's all you really know. You got to go read the fine print.
Yeah.
That's what I think what Mr. Owens is talking about. That's what you're fed. The big names, Joshua Robertson, county commissioner. It's on the people to go read the fine print.
And look, I get that that's true of the candidates as well, right? When you go to vote, it doesn't give you a policy platform summary for the candidates for District 5. So there's always going to be required prefatory work before you go vote. But I think about also that it's not just the ballot initiatives, but somebody texted me and said, Andrew, you're doing such a great job of covering these amendments. Can you tell us about the judges? No.
Mm-mm.
No. Because, I mean, frankly... I am at my maximum capacity on research all the time, and the amount of work that it would genuinely take to figure out which judges are good, which judges are not as good, which judges are genuinely bad. And then you have other issues like the Soil and Water Conservation Board. God knows even what they do, let alone who they are. There are so many parts of the ballot that nobody can know, and yet here we are expected to make decisions about these things. How do you make those decisions, right?
That's right. That's where we're going. It's a long vetting process, so to speak, and you have to make that conscious decision. And that's the hard part.
And again, like, it's my job to learn a lot of these things and to explain them. And if I feel frustrated, I mean, good Lord. I think that about all kinds of things all the time. I'm like, you know, if this is hard for me, it's got to be impenetrable for most people.
Because this is what you do every day. I mean, you live, eat, and sleep, breathe everything having to do with local issues, right?
Right.
News, politics, you know, social, whatever.
And I may not know everything, but I know a few things. And I may not be the smartest, but I'm not so bad. You know, and if it's hard for me to figure out, it's going to be impossible. And if we're supposed to have representative democracy and people, you know, going to the poll, you know, go vote.
Well, what am I voting for?
Yeah, exactly. Right. And then they get in there and they knew these top three names that they were voting. You know, they're voting for Trump or Harris. You know, they're voting for Gates or Villamont or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they get about four in and they're like, man, this is taking a long time. I'm kind of hungry, you know?
Right.
So... John Pickens has traffic on the five. John?
Just one accident to let you know about, still causing some roadblock on Denver Avenue and West Michigan Avenue. So just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic's flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. 855 here on News Radio 92.3. In the studio with me today, I've got Jonathan Owens and Josh Robertson. See, first time right off the lips. No problem. Easy. Easy day. But let's. I want to return to one of the amendments because I think it's. It might be the most interesting that hasn't gotten a lot of discussion. Obviously, there's a lot of talk around the marijuana and abortion amendments. But partisan school board is a very interesting one because, to me, it highlights the fact that schools, public schools, with public funding and with rules about what can be there, have been the center of the culture wars for as long as I've been alive. And yet... we're not in Florida. We're not allowed to say which side of the culture war we're on when we're running for election.
Right.
That strikes me as weird.
I am in support of having whatever flag you fly, or once you have that, you can either, okay, you're a Democrat or you're a Republican, or you're like Josh.
No party affiliate. Or Libertarian, People's Democratic Socialist of America, or whatever you are, tell me, you know?
And the interesting thing will be is, okay, well, how long have you been that?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I know there's some local races right now that people are saying, oh, well, you know, this person's been this for that long or this. Does that really matter?
I do have a side thought on that. I thought the best skewer, which is in debate, we talk about a skewer, is when you really get your opponent good.
Yeah.
Is we had people making big hay. District 3 in Santa Rosa County, James Calkins, was making big hay about being a lifelong Republican. Raul had become a Republican and been a Democrat before.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, so you're a big Trump supporter, though, right? Trump was a Democrat.
Reagan was
a Democrat, right? Like, come on, you got to allow people to change. Go with them where they are rather than what they've been.
We grow up and we change. We have different opinions. We have different life experiences.
Absolutely.
You know, I was a Democrat at one point. And then I was an independent.
I was an atheist. Right. Come on, people change.
Right.
You know?
And now I'm a Republican. And you know, that may change again in the future, depending on where the party goes.
Right. You might move. The party might move. Right.
People change. Right.
What do you think? I'm curious what you're going to say as an NPA, you know, what you have to say about whether candidates for school board ought to declare their party affiliation or declare that they're no party affiliation. So
I don't agree they should.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Tell me more. Yeah.
So,
why?
Yeah. So why bring politics into the school? Like, what I mean by that is let's. Generally speaking, in the last 12 years, you have a very Republican heavy, let's say 80% here in Escambia County.
Right.
So we're going to drive very Republican heavy school board.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Santa Rosa is 100%.
Yeah.
Even though it's not 100% Republican, that's what the representation is. Right.
Let's keep that train of thought. What do we got out of Miami?
Heavy Democrat.
Oh, right? Okay. So that's the school board deal. Once you start having to put that in place, outside of your area, people do move. So would that influence how the school systems are run? So when a child leaves one area and goes to another, what's that going to look like? So keep politics out of the school and let's just teach school how school's meant to be taught.
Oh, I love it. See, I didn't know we disagreed about that. So I wish I should have realized with you being an MPA that you might have a different opinion. But I appreciate that. You have not persuaded me.
That's fine.
It's an interesting argument for a coherent school district across the state, I think, is kind of the argument that you're making, and that they would be more so if there weren't partisan races. Thanks for the time, guys.
Thanks, man.